Gemara is here on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis at the very beginning of the 8th Perek, and the Gemara quotes the Memor of Shmuel that we've discussed on many, many occasions, and that is Dam Bahar Gosh Amar Shmuel Badka Karka Olam V'yashva Aleha U'matza Dam Aleha Tahora. So we know that the Dam came Migufa. About that, there's no question. We're not talking about a kesem that may have come the Alma. But she had no hargosha. And Shmuel postulates that she is tahora, because there are two conditions, according to Shmuel, in order to establish tuma doraisa. Number one, she has to have dam migufa. And number two, it's got to be with hargosha. If any of those two conditions are lacking, then it's only tuma derabbanan. And Rabbi Akiva, who's going to come around the bend on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis in the Mishnah, he's going to discuss the case where you're not sure if the dam is migufa or not. And that's going to have a different drush. So Shmuel is establishing that even though she made a bedikah and she knows the dam therefore is migufa, but it's lacking the second condition of hargosha. In the absence of hargosha, she's not tmeya doraisa, but only the rabbanon. Rabbi Akiva is going to go back to the basics and he's going to ask the question, how do we know that the dam is migufa? She didn't make such a bedikah, like in the case of Shmuel. And therefore Rabbi Akiva is going to have a different drasha that establishes that the Torah only prohibits vadai, meaning vadai migufa, but not safek. And if you recall the Binas Adam of the Chachmas Adam, he compares Rabbi Akiva's logic to the case of Mamzer Vadai v'lo Mamzer Safek. Now the Gemara is going to attack Shmuel time after time from one Braisa after the other. We're going to focus our attention out of this whole, you know, Toshmas, all these Toshmas, on two particular Toshmas, because in both cases the logic of the Gemara is pretty much identical. The first case that we're going to mention here is the case of an Eid Bedika. And you'll see this Toshma, if you have, it's hard for me to help you if you don't have the classical Gemara, so you'll tell me in your other editions where it is, but in the classical Gemara, there's a Tosus Dibra Maskel Omar Mar, and above that there's a Tosus Umagav. So right between those two Tosusin, there's a line that starts V'yosheves Tahora, and it says Toshma. Eid Shaya Nosun Tachas Hakar. So she made a bedika, an internal inspection, and she left the aid under her pillow. So she didn't look at it immediately. And later on, when she looks at it, Nimtza Olav Dam. She finds Dam on the aid. This is not a case of a Kesem, and we'll soon see why, because she did an internal inspection. What did that Dam look like on the aid? Im Agul, if it has a round shape to it, then Tar. Because Rashi says that that Dam is not considered Dam Nida, because if it's Agul, that's a Raya, that it's a different type of a Dam, as we'll soon see. But Im Mashachu, if it's stretched out, then Tame, then we assume that that is Dam Tame. So the Gemara asks, I don't get it. Hechi dami, mimanefshach, I can't understand this halacha. This distinction between agul and mashuch makes no sense, because the e argisha, if she had argosha, so then why are you telling me that agul is tar? Once she has dam bargosha, she knows that it's dam nida. Elo lavdalo argisha. It must be that she didn't have argosha k'tari yet. It says here that if it was mashuch, she's tame. How could she be tame according to Shmuel without a hargosha? The Gemara answers, Li olam di argisha, she had hargosha. But the emor, but perhaps hargosha's aid havi. This hargosha was not because the dam came from the makar, but rather the dam came from somewhere else, and she felt a certain kind of friction as a result of the rubbing of the aid on some sort of internal tissue in her body, and that's what caused the bleeding, but she mistakenly identified it as dam hargosha, as if the dam came from the makar. And there's where we make this distinction. If it's mashuch, then we're not going to assume that she had a hargosha and she confused it with the aid. But rather we're going to assume that this dam came from somewhere else. But if on the other hand, that's the case of Ogul, and therefore she's tar. But if it's mashuch, then we're going to assume that definitely this is dam min ha-mokar. Aye, she didn't have argosha. The answer is she mistakenly thought that she didn't have argosha, but really she did have argosha, and she had argosha's aid. She had argosha of dam min ha-mokar, but she confused it with argosha's aid, and therefore she's tmeya in the case of mashuch. In the case of tar, we're not going to establish that this is dam min ha-mokar, and therefore she's tahora. Now we're going to fast forward to another Gemara, which is very, very similar, and that you'll find just located here. Oh, it's actually the very next Toshma. There's so many Toshmas on this page. Nimta al shalo tmei. This is the famous sugya of dam machmas tashmish. So after the tashmish, she has an aid bedika, he has an aid bedika, he finds dam on his aid, is then tmeim v'chayovim karban. Then we know that this was dam machmas tashmish, which means he made the bedika on his aver directly after the tashmish. He knows when he finds the dam that this dam came migufa during tashmish, and if he has to bring a karban because he was boel nida b'shogeg. Nimtzal shala esyom, if she finds dam on her aid bedika immediately after the tashmish, once again we assume tmeim that this is dam machmas tashmish and chayovim b'karban. However, nimtzal shala li achar zman tmeim misafek, and therefore pturim min ha-karban. You don't bring a karban in the case of a safek, that's called safek chulin bazara. And here, since a certain period of time passed, elapsed after the tashmish, before the actual bedika was made, therefore we have reason to assume that maybe this dam was not dam machmas tashmish, but rather she saw this re'iya after the tashmish. So once again, the Gemara is going to attack Shmuel. Hechi dami, what's the case? Idi argisha, if she had argosha, then liachar zman amai p'tur min ha-karbon. Why should it be a suffik tum? It should be a vadai tum, and they should be chayv karbon. El alav, it must be by process of elimination. Delo argisha, she didn't have any argosha. Uketani, and nevertheless it says that nimtzal shala esyom tmeim v'chayov b'karbon. In this very scenario, if she finds dam immediately after the tashmish, then they have to bring a karban. Why do they have to bring a karban if she didn't have argosha? If she did have argosha, then it wouldn't matter when the bedika was made. The argosha itself would establish her as a vade tmeya nidon. She would have to bring a karban. He has to bring a karban. Ella, what? It was without argosha. If it was without argosha, why does the brisa establish that if she made the bedika immediately after the tashmish, then in such a case, the chayovim b'karbon, and it's tumah doraisa, how could that be? There was no hargosha. And li'olam, and again, if you put your finger on this li'olam and go back to the first li'olam, you'll see it's almost identical. Li'olam de'argisha v'ema hargoshas shamosh hava. Instead of emar hargoshas eid hava, that she confused this argosha with what really was not argosha, it was only argosha's aid. In this case, what she confused was, she thought that she had argosha, but it was a hargoshas shamash. In other words, the shamash itself, the yever, rubbed up and irritated some tissue and caused bleeding, but that's not dam min hamokar. Therefore, what we're left with is a suffix. So we have two cases, let's just summarize what we've learned here, in which a woman did not have hargosha, but maybe she did have hargosha. Meaning, she may have confused the following. She may have thought that she didn't have hargosha. She had thought that this hargosha was hargosha's aid, or hargosha shamash, but really she did have hargosha. and therefore the situation is such that she is in a suffolk, and therefore the dinim of suffolk apply. So for example, in the first case that we discussed with the aid, then we're going to say, since it's only a suffolk, in the case where she finds agul, we could be matir. In the case where she finds it mashuch, we're going to be matame. And in the case of a karban, with regard to dam b'shas tashmish, we're going to say the following, that if we don't know whether she had argosh or not, she cannot, and he cannot bring a karban, because we don't bring a karban in suffolk. So this whole sugya really defends Shmuel and the premise that the precondition for tuma of nida is hargosha, but nevertheless there are situations in which we don't know whether she had hargosha or she didn't have hargosha, and in those situations the din is that she's tmeya misafek. And here we get to the crazy uplesi. The crazy uplesi, which is going to first thing that we want to study today, and it was the last thing that we studied before Pesach, has what he calls a suffolk atzum. He doesn't know what the pshat in this Gemara is. Is the Gemara saying A or B? Okay then? I'm just going to see if we can get a little bit more quiet here. Can you just close the door? I can't hear myself think. Okay. So what is the suffolk in the crazy place? The first pshat in this Gemara, the first possibility, is the following. That she comes forward and she says she had a hargosha. Why then is her status that of a suffolk? Why is she a vade tmeo? The answer is because maybe she really didn't have hargosha. She thinks mistakenly that she had hargosha, but in truth, the hargosha was hargosha's aid or hargosha's shamash. It was not a real hargosha. Now, according to this interpretation of the crazy place, we'll call it Roman numeral number one, if she did not come forward and say that she had argosha, then we have no reason to suspect that she had argosha, and it would not be a suffolk tumor. So far, so good. Did I go too fast, too slow? Just slow me down. The second pshat in the crazy place is that the Gemara is not talking about a case where she claims that she had argosha. She doesn't know anything about argosha. She didn't come forward and say, well, I assume I had argosha. But rather, she checked the bedikas aid and she found dam on the aid. And here, we come along and we say that even though she claims she didn't have argosha, maybe she did have argosha. And why is that so? Because maybe she confused the hargosha, which she did have, and she attributed to the aid or to the shamash. And then it comes out that according to the second side in the crazy placey, even in a case where she claims she didn't have hargosha, we're going to still establish her status as that of a suffolk tmei. So what I want to do now with you is to take a look at this summary of the crazy placey inside. And hopefully, from here, we could jump off to the Torah Shlomim, and to the Trumas Hadeshen, and to the Taz, and it's a never-ending scenario. Okay, so we're looking here at Os Beis on your page that I gave out. Do you have that Os Beis? Oh, the Hine Yeshkan Safek Otsum. That's the opening dramatic line of the crazy uplace. And he says the following. Efshal lilmod ha-gemar b'shtei tsuros. There are two ofanim, two ways of learning this Gemara. Number one, kipshuta. In other words, this is the impression you get. And in a minute we'll see this in Rashi. That Rashi seems to have learned this way. That she claims her gisha. She claims that she not only had dam on the aid, which she found, but not only that, she felt the dam coming out of her body. Vafilu hochi, nevertheless, since it was achar tashmish, or it was achar bedikas aid, nidona kisofek. There's a kula here in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that even though even though she came forward and said she had argosha, nevertheless, maybe she made a mistake, shema tos of argosha, and it really was not argosha's dam, but rather it was argosha's tashmish. Or in the case of Bodka B'Eid, where she did an internal inspection, she thinks that she had a argosha, and in the case where she found Adam Ogul, Amrina, we're going to say, Shetanosa Bargosha Sabdika Tasa, excuse me, Bargosha Sabdika. She made a mistake when she said that she had Argosha. The real Argosha was the Argosha's Bdika. The aid itself created the Argosha, but not a real Argosha. Now, what's the upshot of this first pshat of the crazy place? If she claims that she didn't have Argosha, of Argosha's dam, then Tahora. Again, keep in mind, we're only dealing with the din d'oraisa. As far as the din d'rabbanan is concerned, then the halacha is that if she has dam that came out of her body, then she's tmeya mid'rabbanan, even without Argosha. Right? And that's the sugi here on the very bottom of Nun Zayin Omid Beis. Omar Rav Yirmiya midifti modesh shmuel she tmeya mid'rabbanan. Even without Argosha. Notice what the Chachamim did was, they said that even in the absence of Hargosha, she's Tmeya, I'll call upon him Midrabana. So that's not an issue. What we're focused on today is, could she have had a Hargosha, which makes her into a Tmeya Doraisa? And if there's a possibility, a serious suffix that maybe she did have Hargosha, then we're dealing with a suffix Doraisa. Obviously, there are going to be tremendous repercussions, la halacha lemaisa, as to whether or not we're talking about a drabbana or we're talking about a doraisa. According to the first pshat in the Crazy Uplacy, the Torah is not going to generate a suffix argosha when she claims she didn't have argosha. The whole sugi revolves around the case where she claims she had argosha, and we're being makil, and we're saying that doesn't give her a status of a doraisa in the case of Tashmish, to generate a chiyuv karbon, but rather we're going to assume lekula that maybe she didn't have argosh. She says she had argosh. She made a mistake about it. Now we get to the sheni, the second interpretation of the crazy place. Be'emes, the sugya is talking about a case of to'enes shalor gisha, even though she denies that she had argosh. Afilu hachi mitaminosa. Achar Tashmish, nevertheless, since we have reason to believe that she mistakenly thought she didn't have Argosha, because what she thought it was part of the Tashmish, it was, and she wasn't paying attention to Argosha's Adam, or after Bedika, she wasn't paying attention to the fact that the Dam was coming min Amokar, she thought it was just the aid that caused this Dam. Is Anu Omrim, we're going to say that in truth she had Argosha, but she made a mistake and she thought that she didn't have Argosha. She attributed this Argosha to Argosha Shamash or to Argosha's Eid Bedika. What's the upshot of the second interpretation of the crazy place? Lefizeh afilu biomereshalo argisha Kigon, excuse me, Kavon, Derasa, since she saw Dam, she's Tmeya Doraisa. Again, Tmeya Doraisa, Betoras, Suffolk. So again, she's claiming, I didn't have Argosha. The Rabbanon are going to be Machmir, and they're going to say, well, maybe you did have Argosha. And as a result of that, creating a Suffolk Argosha is creating a Suffolk Tuma Doraisa. So again, in both interpretations of the crazy placey, we're dealing with a suffix doraisa, but under what circumstances do we have a suffix doraisa? According to the first interpretation of the crazy placey, it's only when she comes forward and she claims she had argosha. We would have thought, if not for these two brisos, that creates a status of a nida doraisa, and let them bring a karbon in the case of Tashmish. No. The Gemara says we're going to be making lower her stature to that of a suffek doraisa, suffek nida doraisa, because maybe she mistakenly thought she had argosha. In the second shot, even if she thinks she didn't have argosha, we're going to assume that mistakenly she thought she didn't have argosha, but really she did have argosha, and that's going to create a suffek doraisa, even though she denies having argosha.
This is not according to
This is all within Shmuel. Because again, the only way we can reconcile Shmuel with these cases where she didn't have Hargasha, and again, what does it mean she didn't have Hargasha? So the first shot in the crazy place says that she claims she had Hargasha, but the halacha says, well, maybe she made a mistake and she really didn't have Hargasha. If she doesn't come forward and say, I had Hargasha, if there was no such taina to begin with, then there's nothing to talk about. Then for sure there's only Tumah Durabana in the absence of Hargasha. According to the first shot in the crazy place, when and only when do we say that we're going to upgrade her status without Hargasha to that of a Suffolk Dorais? So that's only because she claims she did have Hargasha. Again, we're not convinced that she had Hargasha. We think she may have mistakenly concluded that she had Hargasha. But the entire Suffolk is predicated on the fact that she herself claimed she had Hargasha. That's crazy and placey Roman numeral number one. And crazy and placey Roman numeral number two is, despite the fact that she denies having Hargasha, but since we found the Dam, and the Re'iyas Dam itself generates a Suffolk, and we're going to assume that maybe she did have Hargasha, in her mind, she confused that Hargasha by attributing it to the aid or to the Shamash, and that's why she denied Hargasha, but in truth, she did have Hargasha, which means Halacha L'mais in the second shot in the Crazy and Placey, only in the second shot in the Placey, even, not only, only is in the first shot, even if she denies having Hargasha, her status is that of a Suffolk Tumah Dorais.
So according to the Crazy Placey, what does it mean?
Which shot in the Crazy Placey?
No, the second shot.
Second shot, yeah.
So in the second shot, what room does it leave for Shmuel to say that Hargasha is the determining factor? He says it. He says klar that she has to have Hargasha.
So the second shot is that she did have Hargasha, but she doesn't know that she had Hargasha.
So if she had Hargasha, it's Pasha. If she didn't have Hargasha, you say it's
no, again. But again, if not for this, but this sugya doesn't contradict Shmuel. Shmuel says that under normal circumstances, a woman has a Re'iyas Dam without Hargasha, and as far as the Torah is concerned, she's Tahor. Right. There are two exceptional cases where we're going to elevate her status of Tumah to that of a Suffolk Doraisa, even though she doesn't know anything about Hargasha. Number one is where she had a Bedikas aid, and number two is she had Tashmish. In both of these cases, the Torah itself considers the fact that she had Hargasha. And although we don't know Vaday that she had Hargasha, she in fact is denying that she had Hargasha, but nevertheless the real Suffolk exists that she had Hargasha, and therefore Shmuel would say that she's Tmeya. Since we don't know that she had Hargasha, you can't call her a Tmeya Vaday, there's no Karman in this case, but there's a Tumah Suffolk. According to the first chat in the Crazy of Placey, this entire Suffolk is generated and predicated on one condition, and that is that she came forward and she said, I had Hargasha. The sugya is being mechadesh that even though she had Hargasha, according to her claim, she really didn't have Hargasha. She mistakenly thought she had Hargasha, and therefore instead of setting her up as a Tmeya Do'oraisa based on her claim that she had Hargasha, we're going to lower it one notch to a Suffolk Do'oraisa.
But she has to claim something.
We're not going to start a whole story because she made a bedika. The fact that she made a bedika in the second shot, if she denies that she had Hargasha, that's not going to generate a Suffolk Dorais. Again, she'll be Tmeya Durabanan as a result of the bedika. Right. That we know. But not a Suffolk Dorais. Because as I said before, a Suffolk Dorais has chumras from here until Gezuti land. So we don't want to have a Suffolk Dorais if we can avoid it. In the first shot, the only Suffolk Dorais is going to be generated by her claim that she had Hargasha. That's where the story begins. The cooler here in our sugya is that even though Shmuel would have said, well, wait a minute, she says she has Hargasha, why shouldn't we trust her? And therefore she's Tmeya Doraisa, let them bring a karmon. The answer is no, she made a mistake. What she really was feeling is the Hargasha Hashamash. She wasn't feeling the Hargasha of Dam Min Amok. That's the first pshat in the Crazy Placey. Her claim will not generate a Vaday Tumah Doraisa, but only a Suffolk Tumah Doraisa. The second pshat says that forget about her claim. I don't even need her claim. Let her deny that she had Hargasha. She still has the status of a Suffolk Tmeya Doraisa. Why? Because we believe that she mistakenly came to the conclusion that she didn't have Hargasha, but she really did have Hargasha.
So, but that's the thing I don't quite understand. I'm sorry for being...
No, it's okay. In my mind, it's crystal clear. So I'm willing to fight you,
According to the second
But you ask me a question, and I don't know what I'm talking about, then I get very nervous.
According to the second shot in the Gracie Placey, she doesn't even have to claim that she had a hargusha.
More than that. She claims that she didn't have a hargusha.
So where does that leave... Shmuel to say that she's tar, where she's never
right? No, Shmuel's talking about a different case. Shmuel's talking about a case where we find dam, and it wasn't a result of an internal bedika. She sat on the ground, and lo and behold, she looks at the ground and she sees dam. Says Shmuel, on a Torah level, she's tahor.
Okay.
So there's no reason to think she had
hargosha.
When do we think that she has hargosha? Either if she finds dam directly after tashmish, or if she finds dam as a result of an internal bedik. In those two cases, Shmuel is going to say, despite the fact, this is Roman rule number two in the Crazy Place, that she denies having hargosha. In fact, she did hargosha, but she confused it in other
ways. We're not giving enough weight to the possibility that it came from something else.
The
tashmish caused an irritation. He's ruling that out, not even a possibility.
In other words,
it's counterintuitive. Yeah, if the only time that he's willing to consider the possibility that she's a suffix to Yoraisa is when there is actually something to be told about it, that it wasn't really Migufa.
No, not that it wasn't Migufa, but that she had Argosha. You're missing the point.
Yeah, right.
The point of the Shamash and the aid is not to tell me it's not Migufa. It's just to tell me that she had Argosha and she didn't know about Argosha. That's the point of the aid and the Shamash. Meaning that although you read Shmuel and you think, well, she claims she didn't have Argosha, Gendik, the story's over, finito, she's not Tmei Doraisa, that's not right. Even Shmuel would have to agree that in certain particular circumstances, not the paradigm case of Shmuel of Bodka Karkolam, but in a case where she made an internal bedika or attachment, in those cases, Shmuel's going to have to be moda that the halacha considers the very real possibility that she had Argosha.
But isn't it more likely that it's a non-need adam because it's due to some sort of irritation or whatever?
So that's going to be the case of Agul. In the case of an Agul, if it's round, if that's what she finds on the Bedika, then we assume it might be dam from someone else. But if Mashuch, then we assume that's dam in Amakar. And if that be the case, she should be Tmei Doraisa. Comes along, Shmuel says she can't be Tmei Doraisa because she didn't have Argosha. Comes along the Sugya and says, so what are we going to do with this Sufik Tumei Doraisa Brisa here? We're going to say that even though, despite the fact that she denies having Argosha, she really did have Argosha and she wasn't aware of it. So Rabosai, let's see if we can go through the poskim and all their analytic analysis and see what we can get out of this suffix of the crazy place, which he describes as a suffix atum ma'od. We're going to start with Os Gimel here, which is the Torah's Shlom. Now, who authored the Torah Shlom? His name is Rav Yaakov Reicher. If you know anyone with the name Reicher, he probably descends from one of the great grandparents of Rav Yaakov Reicher. He's famous for many, many svarim that he wrote, one of which is called the Shev Yaakov. Okay, his name is Rav Yaakov Reicher. The Shev Yaakov is a tshuva sefer, and his commentary on Masechta Nida and Hilchos Nida is called Toras Hashlomim. And it's the same author as the Shev Yaakov. So very often when we're learning Hilchos Nida and we want to quote the Shev Yaakov, we quote it in the name of the Toras Hashlomim. It's the same author. Don't be confused. He lived two and a half centuries ago. You'll check out the history for me and I'll expect an email tonight. In any event, what does he hold? Okay. So he accepts the first tzad, that she came forward with a claim that she had a hargosha. And that's a tremendous kula that's going to have repercussions. You know, it's like throwing a stone in water. It's going to have a splash effect in halacha lemais. Where did he derive this conclusion from? Let's go back to the Gemara itself and to Rashi. The Gemara says that Hechidam, what exactly is the case? Idi argisha agula maitar. And the Gemara repeats itself again afterwards. Idi argisha liachar zman amai p'tur min akarba. So the assumption is that she had argosha. Now, how do we know that she had argosha? The simple answer to that question is that she claimed she had argosha. Rashi doesn't tell us. If you take a look at Rashi, Divra Masil di Argisha, he says Bishas Bdika. He's describing how she feels this argosha. She made a bdika and she feels argosha. And the answer is that, you know what, maybe this argosha is not a argosha at all. So this leads the Shev Yaakov, the Torah Sashlom, the same author, to the conclusion that the crazy place in his first Safek, in his first Tzad in the Safek, is really giving us the simple pshat, straightforward interpretation of the Gemara, and that's the one that he adopts. And therefore, the entire discussion about Safek Tuma Doraisa is predicated on her claim that at the time of this Bedika, she felt Argosha. Then and only then, can we generate a Safek Doraisa? Aval HaKreisi Uplesi Atzmo, he himself, the author of this Safek, after presenting the Tutsdanim, he's Machmir, and he accepts the second interpretation of the Gemara. And he has an Arichus with, again, if we have a month, we'll go through it, but it's very long, with Rayas from the Gemaras, and the Rishonim, and Poskim, and Ladina. It would seem that the evidence really weighs in favor of the crazy place's final maskana l'chumra, that even though she didn't come forward with a claim of hargosha, she found dam on a bedikas aid. It was an internal inspection. She finds dam after tashmish. Then we have to be machmir and consider her a safek tmeya da'oraisa. And this is against the Torah Hashlamim. And amongst the poskim who accepted that chumra, we have none other than some of the greats that we've been studying for the last few months, the Chavos Das, that's the Bala Nesivos, and the Sidrei Tara, Bilchanan Ashkenazi. All these poskim, the greats in Hilchos Nida, accepted this chumra, and they all gang up against the Torah Hashlamim who wanted to be making. However, we have to make one proviso, or one... one limitation rule, and that is that we're talking about a bdika biomek. We're dealing with an internal inspection. In that case, we could say she made a mistake, and unbeknown to her, she had a hargosha. But if we're talking about an external kinuach, what we call kinuach mibachutz, and we had a long discussion about this way back when we spoke at the Raivin, but zeh leka chashash hargosha. We're not going to assume that when she's yelling and screaming, I didn't have any argosha. Well, she did have argosha, but she confused it with the aid. That makes sense if the aid was an internal inspection, what's called bedika ma'omek, but not in the case of a kinuach mibachutz. Now, at this point, bless you, we want to open up the Rambam. Okay? This is a Rambam that we've seen in the past, but now we're going to look at it in a different perspective. It's, of course, Perek Tes, Mehilchus Isurei Bia. That's where the Rambam discusses Hargosha. Says the Rambam, codifying the Halach of Shmuel, Ein ha'isha mistama min ha'torah benido beziva ad shetargish v'tiradam v'yotza b'psara. So we have three conditions here. Number one, she has to have Hargosha. Number one, she has to see the dam. Number two, and number three, it comes out of her body. Kamosha b'yar. V'tiyat mea me'es shetire. We don't assume that she's tmeya l'mafreya, that maybe the dam was held up in the Beis Achitzon, but from now on, from the moment of Re'ia and Lahava Bilvad, she is tmeya. V'im lo hergisha. Now what does that mean, lo hergisha? Clearly, what words came out of her mouth?
She kind of should have
said, I didn't have argosha. Ubadka umatzadam lifnim biprozdor harezu bechezkas sheba bargosha.
That's the second one.
Exactly. and it's an unbelievable thing. It's a chumra on top of a chumra, meaning lo mi bahi, bad enough that the Rambam is being machmir, like the second interpretation of the Kresi Uplesi, clearly indicating that despite the fact that she doesn't have any argasha, she's still going to be tmeya. But to add insult to injury, the Rambam goes even further than that. He writes, "Harezu becheskas sheba b'hargasha." Now, I would submit to you, and you can go ahead and check me out on this, that if you did a word search in the Rambam for the word cheskas, you will always find and always derive the following conclusion. When the Rambam employs the word cheskas, he means vadai. The Rambam is not even going as far as we went in Roman numeral number 2, the chumra of the Kresi Uplesi, and all the Rishonim and all the poskim who accepted that chumra, that it's a suffix, though, right? So the Rambam writes, cheskas shebov hargosha. You know, how powerful is our assumption that she made this confusion, attributing any sort of hargosha to the aid, but really it was a hargosha mamish? We're going to go as far as to assume that there's a cheskas hargosha. There's an assumption on the part of the halacha that she had a hargosha. Now again, all this is talking about a case where she made an internal inspection. What happens if she finds dam on the floor or on the ground, like in Shmuel's, you know, paradigm case? We did raise sofrim. Now we're up to a different level. We've gone from Tumah Doraisa Bevadai to Tumah Doraisa Besafek, and now we're going down to Tumah Doraisa to Tumah Derabban. Again, when I say Tumah Doraisa Besafek, again, be very careful. I warn you, the Rambam doesn't say the word Safek. He says Becheska Shergisha. But now we drop down to the Derabban. He did raise so from Kola Roa Kesem, Dam Al Besara, O Al Begada, Afa Pisha Loer Gisha. So there's no hargosha here. Forget it. On a doraisa level, there's nothing to talk about. There's not even a latest hasafik that she's tmei doraisa. But the rabbanon instituted a tuma called kesem. Uki ilu harezu tmeya. Uki ilu matza dam lifnim bibisara. The rabbanon consider her tmeya midrabbanon as if she saw dam. Utuma zu. Besafek. But we still have another element of Safek. Now watch this. On the one hand, she didn't have Argosha. So that definitely downgrades us to a Tuma Durabon, which is called Tumas Ksav. On the other hand, you have to ask yourself the question, where did this Dam come from? Okay, the Rabbanan could overlook the fact that there was no Hargosha, but let's ask a more fundamental question. That was Rabbi Akiva's question on Daf Nun Ches, where did this Dam come from? And there are any number of possible answers to that question as to where this dam come from when she finds it on her beged. Says the Rambam, Shema kesem zeh midam hacheder ba. Why would the Rabbanan machmir? Right, there are two types of dam that come from inside a woman's body. One is called dam min hacheder, and the other is called dam min aliyah. Dam min aliyah is tar. The Rambam says the Rabbanon are going to consider hotmeya min Rabbanon because the dam might have come from the cheder, which is dam min amokah that's metameya benida. Now wait a second. When I asked you the question, where did this dam come from? What I had in mind was a whole different answer. Maybe the dam came from a shuk shel tabochim. Maybe the dam came from makoles. Maybe the dam came from here, there, or elsewhere. Dam min amokah. Who knows where this dam came from? The Rambam enters into a different suffix entirely. Where did the dam come from within her body? Did it come from the cheder or did it come from the aliyah? Frekta kesef mishnah, I don't get it. Kosha li, ha havi svek sveka. We have two svekas here. And we should be makil midin svek sveka. He's assuming that the Rabbanan accepted svek sveka, huh? And there's no reason to assume otherwise. What are the two sfeikas? He says, Safik mi gufa ba. Maybe it came shalom mi gufa. We don't know where it came from. Maybe it came from the outside. The imtim shalom, even if I grant you that mi gufa, it came from a guf. Safik min acheder, vitame. Safik min aliyah, Vitar. Now, I wouldn't have even raised this suffix, says the Kesef Mishnah, that maybe it came from Aliyah until I saw the Rambam. That the Rambam says that this tumah is a tumah suffix because we're afraid maybe the dam came from the cheder and not from Aliyah. Now, if that be the case, how do we know the dam came from Igufa? And even if it came from Igufa, maybe it came from Aliyah and we have a bona fide sfek sfek. So the Kesef Mishnah offers two answers to this question. One is that the Rabbanu were machmir even despite the fact that it's a sfek sfek, because nida is so chomur with an iser kares and so forth and so on, that they added a chomer and a sfek sfek. The second answer is ein la davar litlos bo. She didn't really walk through a shukshal tabachim. As far as we know, she's perfectly healthy. There was no internal bleeding of any sort from a makkah, and therefore to say that maybe it came from somewhere else, that's ridiculous. But rather we have to assume it came in migufa. But where migufa? Did it come in a cheder or in a prozdor? That's where the Rabbanan said we have to be machmir and consider that maybe less the dam came in a cheder, and therefore she's Tmeya B'Safek. So this Kesef Mishnah will occupy our minds in Yirtzeh Hashem next week. I just wanted you to have a foot in the Kesef Mishnah, you know, a basis in the Kesef Mishnah. But now we want to derive the following conclusion. This is Ostalid, that from the Rambam, who says that Lo Hirgisha, and yet the chazaka is that she had argosha, is mefurash, it's explicit by Rambam, shemotza dam bibidika, that as soon as she finds dam in a bidika, that's what the Rambam is talking about, an internal inspection, machzikinen lehargosha, we assume that she had a hargosha, which is the second interpretation of the crazy place, lechumra, that even though she denies having argosha, that's what we call below argosha, nevertheless we assume that she did have argosha because of the bdikas ha'ed. And that's the second interpretation, lechumra, of the crazy place. So why are we mentioning this? We're emphasizing that not only do we have the crazy place himself, who concluded like the second interpretation, not only is he supported by the psak of the Chavos Das and the Sidrei Tara, and they all gang up against the Torah Sashlam, but in addition, the Rambam is outspoken about the position in favor of this position, the Kresi Plesi L'Chumra, and what we call Roman numeral number 2. Then, the Kresi Plesi quotes a Trumas Hadeshen. Again, you'll correct me on the history, but I think the Trumas Hadeshen was approximately in the 14th century. Okay, so please look that up if you don't know it by heart. But anyway, he's like the last of the Mohicans. You know, before we enter into the Tkufas Achronim with the Beis Yosef, we have the end of the Tkufas Rishonim with the Trumas Hadeshen. I think, again, the historians will correct me that his last name was Isserlish. I don't think he was related to the Ramah, but maybe he was. I don't know. And he says the following, that everything that we're talking about here, when we assume that maybe she had a hargosha, that's all a suffix d'oraisa. And this Trumas Hadeshen is quoted extensively, not just by the Kresi Plesi, but by all the poskim. And the Shev Yaakov, again getting back to Rav Yaakov Reish and the Torah Sashlomim, he rejects the Trumas Hadeshen, which is a bit of audacity, because he was a good more than two centuries after the Trumas Hadeshen. So we now have a kula of the Shev Yaakov, and he's claiming that even if you want to be machmir and assume perhaps she did have argosha, that itself is only a derabbanan. That's not a suffix d'oraisa. But on the other side of the coin, of the equation, we have Nagos Maimonios, he was also late Rishon, and others, that they wanted to say that if the Isha doesn't think that she had argosha, and she's convinced that she had no argosha, then lo chayshinin la argosha kekai gavna. In other words, even though the Shev Yaakov seems to be a loner, he's not a loner. He is a loner against the barrage of Achronim, and even against the Trumas Hadeshen. However, he can take some consolation in the fact that Hagos Maimonides implies that on a Doraisa level, we're not going to be Choshish Targosha simply because she made a Bedika. But again, as we said before, the final conclusion of the Crazy Placey and all those who came after him was to be Machmer and consider this as a Sufi Doraisa, despite the fact that she claims that she didn't have Argosh. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the Crazy Placey invokes many different sugyas, many different shown, many different poskim to support his position. But the most important proof that he has is from a Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Actually, we'll take a look at the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. And the Mishnah says about Nimtza Beprozda, this is about four lines down from the top of your page, Speko Tame Lefishach Eskoso Min Hamokar. So this is very interesting, because what comes out of this sugya on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis is the following: that we have a Sofek Tumah, even though L'chora, without Argosha, according to at least the Shita of the Shev Yaakov and before him, Nagos Maimonides, we're down to a Darabana. We don't have a Doraisa here because she's not aware of any Argosha whatsoever. And how do I know that this is a Sufik Doraisa, says the Crazy Placey? The Gemara says that Sarfin Olea Es Hataros, that in this case, we are going to take Truma, and if she has contact with the Truma, we're going to assume that she contaminated the Truma, and we're going to burn this Truma. Now, well, how can we do such a thing? If the Rabbanon instituted this Chumrah, that maybe she had Argosha when she claimed she didn't have Argosha, that's not enough to allow burning Truma, because on a Doraisa level, the Truma is Truma Tahora. And the Rabbanon cannot allow us, no way, no how, to burn Truma Tahora. The answer must be that this generates a din of Sufik Doraisa. If it's a din Doraisa, then and only then can we be Soref Taharos. Can we be Soref this Truma because of the possibility that this Truma became Tmea? And therefore, just give me one second, Al-Kain, or Al-Karchach, I should say, now, what we have no choice is to accept the following conclusion, Dal-Yidei Bedika, when she did the Bedika, and she finds Dam in the prose door, Machzikinon Liraya Liria Behargosha, that we're going to assume that she had Argosha. So again, Rabosai, let me point out to you, this is a Chumra Al-Gabi Chumra. Meaning, until we got to this sugya Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the Crazy Place was only saying Safek Tuma Doraisa. Meaning, if there's a possibility that she had Argosha, despite the fact that she denies having Argosha, she's totally unaware of any Argosha, then you want to create a Safek, maybe she confused herself and she really had Argosha. That only could generate what? A Safek Doraisa. You can't burn Truma on a Safek Doraisa. The answer has to be here that the Crazy Uplacy is quoting this Gemara as a riot to the Shita that we saw in the Rama. We were dyke from the Rama. The Rama says, Harezu Muhzeke Sheher Gisha, which means that the Halacha assumes that she had Argosh. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no. Once you say that.
Okay. And now we get to the Node of Yehuda. So we're up to Os He. Now, Rabosai, what we haven't discussed, which I'm kind of avoiding because it's a major sugya nida and it's very complicated, is what exactly is Argosha? What do we mean when, what does Shmuel mean when he says that she had Argosha? So the Node of Yehuda, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, 2.5 centuries ago, again, you'll double check me, he's of the opinion that, you know what Argosha is? Argosha is called Zivas Dovar Lach. Zayin Dalid Lamed. This is a breakthrough of the Node of Yehuda. She actually feels that there's some liquid coming out of Oso Mokom, coming out of that place.
Well, she feels it bifnim or bechutz.
Okay, so let's go through it slowly but surely. I don't know all the answers to the questions about Zivas Dovar Lach, exactly what it is. But where did the Node of Yehuda get this from? What led him to the conclusion that when we talk about Argosha, and that's the precondition on the Doraisa level of Tumas Nida, it means Hargoshas Zivas Dovar Lach. And the answer is, apparently, he got it from this Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Because the Gemara is talking about a case where she feels the dam coming out of her prose door. She doesn't know exactly where this dam originated. Did it originate in the cheder, which makes it dam nida, it's dam in a mokar, or min aliyah, which makes it dam mimokom tar? And therefore we apply the principle of safek da oraisa l'chumra. And it's all based on the fact that she has a hargoshas zivas davralach. Ilav hachi, if you don't accept this, and this was the note of this question, is mimanafshach. Im haya hargosha shen niftach harechem. If you're telling me that she, in order to have hargosha, she has to actually feel that something inside, which is the source of the dam, opens up, then if that's the hargosha that she had, then tmei avada. On the other hand, if she had no hargosha, she wouldn't be tmei midoraisa klal. Therefore, the middle case here, notice we have two extremes. We have one extreme which is called hargoshas psichas harechem. We have another extreme where she didn't have hargosha at all, no hargosha, zero, nothing registered on the rectus scale. Says the note of Yehuda, how do you come up with a tuma doraisa in cases where she doesn't feel niftach harechem? If she felt niftach harechem, then that would be hargosha mamish, and no question about it, she would be tmeya doraisa. Correct? If she didn't have any argosha, then she wouldn't be tmeya doraisa at all. So where do we come up with this new category of a real bona fide safek doraisa? And that the answer is zivas davralach. Although again, we don't know whether it was mi chedra or mi aliyah, but we do know that it came mi gufa bargosha, because that's the argosha that generates a safek. Psichas recha means it didn't come in aliyah, it came in hacheder. The cheder is the makar. The dam comes through the makar down to the cheder. So in that case, if she had a hargoshas psichas harechem, then don't talk to me about dam in aliyah. You know, this dam in aprosa is a suffix, maybe came in aliyah, and therefore it's a suffix deraisa. This would be a vadi deraisa with hargosha mamish. The answer is, she didn't feel psichas harechem. Once she didn't feel psichas harechem, we don't know, maybe the dam came in aliyah. That creates a suffix. Why is it a suffix doraisa? If she didn't have any argosha, says the Od Yehuda, she would not be tmeya doraisa b'klal. She must have had some argosha. When does the Torah recognize argosha, albeit as a suffix, because we don't know if it's damen acheder or damen aliyah? That's called zivas dover lach. Now, according to the Crazy Uplacy, this works out very well, because the sugya is going to be talking about a case where she didn't have any argosha. Nevertheless, since she made a bedika and she found dam, it's considered a safek doraisa as a result of the bedika, meaning we're going to tell her that she had argosha. So that we have two shitos here in how to understand the Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis and how to generate a safek doraisa, and then we have the Rambam shita that it's a vadai. The two shitos that call it a safek doraisa are that of the Nod B'Yud on the one hand and the Crazy Uplacy on the other hand. The Nod B'Yud says she had a hargosha, which definitely tells us that the dam came migufa. The safek here is engendered by the fact that we don't know if the dam came michadra or min aliyah. The Crazy Uplacy says that even though she didn't have any argosh at all, and she could be yelling and screaming, I didn't feel any dam coming out anywhere, nevertheless, it's a safek doraisa because of the bedika, which tells me that the reason why she confusingly thought that she didn't have a bedika, any argosh, is because she really did have argosh, but she thought it was the argosh as her aid. Okay, then, if we want to go through the Chavos Das at the beginning of Siman Kuf Tzadi for pages and pages, we'll be able to analyze this Nod B'Yehuda. This Nod B'Yehuda is analyzed all over the place in Hilchos Nida, and the Chassam Sofer has a long tshuva about it, many different tshuvas about it, and it's all the Nod B'Yehuda, Argoshas, Zivas, Dover Lachmi, Gufra, Moshe Feinstein. It also has tshuvas about this. Perhaps in our day, no women actually feel Argoshas, Dover Lach, Sheyotzim, Gufra. I don't know. Now we're up to Os Vav. Yesh L'dayik. No, I'm sorry. Yesh lod. Yesh lod. We have to think about the following issue. Let's assume that we're going to accept the crazy who placed his chumra together with all the achronim, the chavastas, the sidritar, that all accepted his chumra. Now, where do we go with this? Are we willing to make the next step into the wild blue yonder and accept the Rambam that she's Tmeya B'Torah's Vadai? Again, keep in mind, she claims she didn't have Argosha, and she's Tmeya B'Torah's Vadai Midoraisa because the Rambam says Arezu Chaz Becheska Asher Gisha, all because she made an internal Bedika. Or shall we assume, the way we saw it in the Trumas Hadeshen, that we're talking about a Safek D'Oraisa, and that would seem to be indicated by an entire slew of poskim, including the Crazy Placey himself. Although the Crazy Placey does quote this Rambam, but what we want to study now is the Taz. Now this is on the bottom of your page, it's Os Zion, and this is the Taz at the beginning of Simon Kuf Sad. So let's just take a moment's time, if you don't mind, to open up. Oh, I'm sorry. To open up this Taz. Yeah. Now, this Simon of Kuf Tzadi is dedicated to the laws of Medikas HaIsha. And the Shulchan Aruch begins by telling us that Dvar Torah Eino Isha Metama V'lo Asur Levaila Chetargish Sheyetze Dam Mibasara. His language sounds, or at least reminds us a little bit of the Nod of Yehud. Chachamim gazru al kol kesem shenimtza begufa bebegadeha shitmeya vasur lebaila afilu loer gisha. So then, the Rabbanon came along, and they made a takana of Tumah de Rabbanon in the case of Ksamim. Okay. Now, let's fast forward a little bit to... Sadi is a very long siman. Second. Here it is. Sif Lamed Dalet. Bodka Atzma B'Eid HaBodukla V'Nichasa. So she had a clean aid that she had checked out, and then she made an internal bedika. V'Nichasa Taksakar, Taksakes is fine. U'lemachar Nimtza Alea Olav Dam. Im Mashuch Tmea Shechezkasa Me'akinuach V'im Agul the ain bo kigris viod tahora she'ein zel adam makoles shenegro nerga tachas hakar. All right, now the Rambam makes the following addendum. He says, "V'uadin imu yoser mikigris." This is unbelievable. The Rambam wants to be mekil and suggest that this dam came from a makoles, even if it's yoser mikagris. So again, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying that if it's agul and it's less than a kagris, then she's tahora, and then we're tola on dam makoles. But if it's more than a kagris viod and more, then we cannot be tola on a makoles. Makoles is a very small bug, has a very limited amount of dam. Whereas the Rambam seems to be saying, no, even though it had more than a gris, nevertheless, we can be told it in a makolis. Why? Because it's agul. Right. The yesh makom litlos bo.
We say generally is that agul is a very good simon that it's not
Migufa, but if it gets very large, that's also a resa that it came from makolas, because usually from makolas it wouldn't be so large. So we have two
different
bugs. We have shnei ksuma machishim zedze. You know, one says it is a makolas because obviously if she didn't have any argosha and she found something agul, that would indicate that it's a makolas. On the other hand, why is it so large? So we're in that stira. So the machaber is going to be machmir and the ramah is going to be mekil. Now, if you take a look at the Taz in Sif Chaf Beis, he has a long discussion about this Ramah, and his conclusion is that if a woman has dam that's matsuri etzla v'beis hara'i, does anybody know what that's called in modern parlance? Hemorrhoids. Okay, that's in the base of Re'i.
Tchorim.
But that's very close to the Oso Makom. So what she did was she did a kinuach, the Oso Makom, and she found down because she actually touched the base of Re'i. So the Taz here, if somebody could just isolate the relevant line in the Taz, because I realize now that we don't have the time to plow through this entire Taz, but see if you can find it for me. He says that in such a case, since she's an Isha Shemotzi Etzla Dam Bebeis Hare'i, you have it? Is Afilu Bodka Atzma Be'ed Baduk, even though she checked herself with a clean cloth.
Close here on the bottom.
Yeah, but I just want to know if you found it in the Taz, by any chance. Yeah. This is such a long Taz. Where is it in the Taz? Yeah, where is it?
The third line in Taz of Chof Gimel.
Third line, okay, let's see. Isha Sheregil Lahotzi Dami Beisari Ishala Al Yidei Eze Siva. Okay, I would call it hemorrhoids. Ubadka Atzma Afil Be'ed Baduk. Ubishas Habadika. Again, Habadika was in her makom, also makom, but at the time that she did the bedika, naga gam sham, it also touched, it had the aid had contact with the beis hara'i. In such a case, tolaba shelo b'shas vesta. Okay, and I'm not getting into vestos now, but if it was shas vesta, and we have reason to believe that she would see dam, then we're not going to implement the laws of Tali. But let's say it was shelo b'shas vesta, we have no reason to anticipate that she would see dam at this point in the calendar. Says the Taz, in such a case, we can be tole on the beis hara'i. And why is that so? Says the Taz, the einkan sofek de'oraisa. In other words, that even in the worst case scenario, if the dam came yoso makom, it's not metamiyom de'oraisa. We'll see why, you could already guess it. It's the next few words in the Taz, but without looking, we can guess it on our own. And therefore, we, by definition, in the absence of our gusha, we reduce this to a suffix, in the worst case scenario, to a drabanan. And now we have a suffix that maybe the dam that she's finding on the aid after the kinuach is dam mi beis harei, is kema de la regisha b'dam min ha-mokar, since she didn't have any argosha. Therefore, we're in the Darabanan, and since the Suffolk is maybe it came from the Beis Hari, therefore Suffolk Darabanan, Lekula. And this is a world famous Taz. He bases himself on the Beis Yosef, who came obviously before him. The Beis Yosef did not discuss this case. Kmo shekasa Beis Yosef kan, the Dibra Maskel Mikol Makom, Vezelishono, Venira Li, the Hecha de Ikol Amechish. Shema ba hadam be'ed zeh machmas shenis aska somuch lemakom sheha'ed sham b'minei damim. Okay, I don't know exactly why she was hanging around the butchery or something, but there's dam floating all over the place, flying through the air. Says the Beis Yosef, in such a case, then even though she found dam on an aid, which is a very serious kind of thing, as we've been discussing for the last hour, that it might even be a vadei doraisa dam machmas aid. That's a rabbam shita, or according to Crazy Placey, and all those who agree with him, it's a suffix d'oraisa. And yet, we're going to assume that despite the finding of Dam on the Eid, the Beis Yosef says that since she was osekes b'samuch le mine damim, tolim b'hem, v'afilu b'yosef v'kigris v'yoz. So it's unbelievable. She did a bedika. She's completely tahora, says the Beis Yosef. Why? Because she was hanging around, you know, places where she was involved with Dam. The Hecha Deikla Mechash Shema Ba. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The Od the Mipnesha Kancha Lo Naniach Militlos Pamesha Efshar. Despite the fact that she did this kinuach, we're not going to block any, or, you know, all routes, all possibilities of Tliya. And all this, says the Beis Yosef, is because Kemishal Ergisha Beitzias Dam Migufa. So not only does the Taz implement, or shall I say, apply and base himself on this halacha of Hargasha, which is the sheet of Shmuel, but even before the Taz, the Beis Yosef applied this logic to again reduce this suffix to that of a derabbanan, such that now we can apply the laws of Tlia, Kevin Shalor Gisha Vitzias Dam Migufa, and that's going to be okay. We can say that it came from the outside.
Is that across the board, Kula? In other words, what if a woman doesn't have hemorrhoids? She didn't go to a butcher.
Then obviously we're going to say it's a suffix, and maybe even a suffix d'oraisa, maybe even a vadik d'oraisa, because she did a bedika.
They're just giving you examples, and it's ain't the double self what you can be told on. Who knows what happens?
Right, but there's no definite tliya. Here there's like a definite tliya because she was osekes bedamim. Yeah, you know, this reminds me of things that we discussed about what was the case there with the Tosus and Chulin. Okay, I don't remember it right now. I don't want to hold up.
Yeah, no. What I'm asking is this is not a license to a general kula.
So let's see how far the Taz is willing to take this. He says the following. That if she does a kinuach and she has dam matzui, what's the dam matzui from the Beis Hari'i? Okay, we're on the top of page 5 if you have it. V'noga gam sham, and we know that she had contact, meaning there was contact between the aid and the Beis Hari'i, is tola bazeu tahora. She's absolutely tahora. V'afal pi shebemishna dafnun chesam in Beis gabi bendika mechalkinen bein nimtza dam moshuch o ogul. Kan afilu b'dam moshuch tahora kevin shenase b'kinuach v'makom tar. In other words, since the kinuach touched on dam that's dam tar, in this case the Beis Hari'i, then once we know that, we don't even have to concern ourselves with all the dinim of ksamim, namely, well, you know, the dam was mashuch, and therefore we can't be making ksamim. She had more than a kagris va'od. Leave out all of that. As long as we know, again, this is before the Beis Yosef, as long as we know that there was contact between the Eid Bedika and a source, a makar that is tahar, namely the Beis Hari'i, she has to know that. She has to swear in a stack of bottles. But once she says that, we have an absolute tliya. And where did the Taz get this from? He got it from the Beis Yosef, that in this aska b'samuch li'eid b'minei damim, she was definitely involved in other types of damim, and in that case perhaps you could say that the accessibility of dam is even greater than that of the case of the Beis Hari'i, because we don't know that at that moment in time the Beis Hari'i was actively bleeding. We know that it's matzui, but we don't know that it was for sure that it was actively bleeding. Here at least we know that she was definitely osekes b'damim, and it was in close proximity to the aid, so it means that this dam, or in this general area, again he doesn't go into specifics, he says, and tolimba utahora. And again, the tahora here of the Beis Yosef, let's just go back to this, applies even if it was more than a kagris v'od, am I right? Let me just read it again. Venerally de hecha de ikla mecha shema ba dam bi aids em hamachshis aska besamuch bimakom sha'aid sham bimine damim is tolim behem. Oh, he says explicitly, I feel biyosek kikigris viot. Wow. That's pretty revolutionary.
But still, it requires
just give me a minute, Alan, because I just want to see the whole picture.
Go ahead.
And again, it's all predicated on the fact that lower gisha b'yitzias dam, which means that we reduce it down to a level of a drabbana. Now we're going to apply plia. Tliya. The afal pisha base Yosef hitir kishenimtsa agul mikomakamataz lefi ha'inyon dekan hitir gam b'moshuch kevet shekal koncha. Wow, it really becomes complicated here, Rabbo. So when you weigh all the variables, you know, on the scale, because the Taz, in a sense, is going even more, he's even more mekil than the Beis Yosef, because the Beis Yosef limited his kula to a case where he found, where she found dam ogul. But, and even though it's more than a kugris v'yod, we can say that this dam came not from a makolis, but from all the domim that she was misasik for. Whereas the Taz is willing, in the case of a woman who has dam motzi v'beis hari, is willing to be mekil, even if she found dam moshuch. But nevertheless, that has to be sorted out, so to speak, with the other factor, that she definitely made contact between the aid and the beis hari'i, right? And the beis hari'i where she had a dam motzli. So all in all, what the Taz does is he juggles all these factors. Number one, that this case has a greater, more powerful tliya than the case of the Beis Yosef, and that is because she actually had contact between the aid and the Beis Hari'i, was a mokar of dam, which is dam matsui. Therefore, he's willing to be mekil and apply the din of tliya, even though she saw on this aid a kegris viot. The Beis Yosef, on the other hand, is not talking about a case where she definitely had contact between the aid kinuach and some other place where there was dam, there was just dam in besamuch. Therefore, he's going to limit his kula to the case where she finds dam ogul. But chazina me'ataz, and this is the breakthrough here of the Taz, and maybe we could also say the Beis Yosef, that even though we're talking about an aid bedika, in the absence of hargasha, we define it as, categorize it as a drabanan. And therefore, we're going to use tliya as we do in a case of a drabanan. And a tliya that's so powerful applies even to kegris v'yod. That's the Shev Yaakov. Again, we're looking, in English, I don't know how you say it, but in Hebrew you say b'nevot, you know, we're looking with high and low, I guess you could say, for some support to the Shev Yaakov, that in the worst case scenario, that when she had no argosh, and you want to generate the suffix of maybe there was argosha, says the Shev Yaakov, that itself is only a rabbinic institution, it doesn't apply on a Torah level, and we couldn't find too much support for the Shev Yaakov, although maybe we found some support in the Hagos Maimonides. Now we find support for the Shev Yaakov in the Taz, because the Taz is not going to say that although there's an Eid Bedika, the Taz is not going to say that because there's an Eid Bedika, we're going to generate a Sufik Doraisa. In a Sufik Doraisa, we would not apply the Dinim of Tliya. As I said, Rabbo, say at the outset, let me just repeat, you know, backtrack for a minute. What I said at the outset of this shiur was that we're going to be spending a lot of time trying to figure out whether this sugya on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis is generating a Sufik Doraisa in the case where she claimed she had no Argosha. That was the Sufik of the crazy place. The position of the Shev Yaakov, which was the first interpretation of the Kresi place, is that no way, no how can you generate a Sufik Doraisa when she claims that she had no Argosha. And therefore, any Tumah that's going to emerge in a case of an Eid Bedika, when she claims she had no Argosha, is at the worst case scenario going to be Durabonon, but not Doraisa. And then Afkamina is going to be where the laws of Tliya could apply. From the perspective of the crazy placey, that despite her yelling and screaming that she didn't have argosha, nevertheless we insist that maybe she did have argosha, and that generates a sufik d'oraisa, leaving out the Rambam for a moment, then tliya becomes an impossibility. So that's what I'm trying to drive home here, and I'm talking to myself, just out loud, if you don't mind, is that this discussion about whether we're talking about a sufik d'oraisa or a rabbinic chumrah has tremendous implications. Because the Taz is going to allow himself to institute Tliya because he's within the framework of the Rabbanan. That means that he's supporting the position of the Shev Yaakov, which was the first interpretation of the Kresi Uplesi, against all the other poskim. Now, Chazina, and again, this is pretty much the punchline of everything we've been discussing today. So the whole institution of Tumah Derabanan is predicated on the fact that if we could be Tola, then we will apply Tliya. The Rabbanan will be Metame when we have no proof one way or the other. No indication where this dam came from. We're going to assume it came Migufa, and we're going to give it a tabi on Misafik to Rabbanan. But if there's Tliya, then the Rabbanan are going to step aside and say we'll be Tola. And says the Taz that even though she used an aid bedika for an inspection, which we thought generated at the very least a suffix to Oraisa, that maybe she had argosha. No, says the Taz, she didn't have argosha. That's her claim, and that reduces it to a drabbanon. This will support the Shev Yaakov. I don't know if you're excited about this. I'm very excited about this. However, the Sidrei Tara, as we said before, belongs to the second opinion of the Kresi Uplesi, and he wants to assume that for sure we're dealing with a Sofik Toraisa against the Shev Yaakov. So what are we going to do with the Taz? Now keep in mind, the Sidrei Tara lived a century ago, maybe a century and a half ago. The Taz lived four centuries ago. So you have to deal with the Taz as a primary source. The Taz here is almost outspoken in favor of the Shev Yaakov, what we call Kresi Uplesi Roman numeral number 1, the Torah Sashlomim, and therefore it's very chutzpahdik for the Sidrei Tara to be machmir against the Taz. Then, says the Sidrei Tara, you misunderstood the Taz. The Taz is applying the law of Sfexfika. How is that so? First of all, we don't know if she had argosha, or she didn't have argosha. So that itself is a suffix. She claims she didn't have argosha. We're going to assume, no, maybe she had argosha, but she mistakenly attributed to something else, to the Eid Badik. Number two, the Taz says that even if I grant you that this dam is coming, right, let me just see, how does he formulate this second suffix? That maybe came in base Sarri. Just 1 second, sorry. You see, it's a little tricky. This svexvek is what's called the svexvek she'eino mishapeches. Are you familiar with that term? Meaning that there's a definite sequence. You can't start it in both directions. You have to postulate a particular suffix first, and only then can you introduce a second suffix. Oh. So I started the wrong way in explaining the Sidrei Tara. The first suffix that we have to postulate is whether or not this dam came migufa, because maybe it came in Beis Hari'i. That's the Taz, right? Now he says the Sidrei Tara, the Taz is going to apply a second suffix. I feel it to Salome came migufa. We don't know if she had argosha. In fact, she's claiming she didn't have argosha. That's where the Rabbanan will rely on Tliya, because it's a Sfex Feka. No, the Sfex Feka is a given. And if it's a given, the Rabbanan are going to say, well, if you can be told it, then let's apply the laws of Tliya. But this doesn't prove that Dam Bibidika below Argosha is, according to the Taz, only the Rabbanan. That's not what the Taz is saying. Enochinami, the Taz agrees to our position, says the Sidrei Tara, which is the Kresi Placey's final conclusion, that Dam Bibidika, even without argosha, is a suffix d'oraisa. But nevertheless, here we have another suffix, because we didn't know to begin with whether the dam came migufa. So at square one, maybe the dam came mi beis harei. If it came in the beis harei, then there's something to talk about. Afilu im timtzalomer came migufa. Now we get into the suffix d'oraisa, maybe she had argosha. But that's another suffix to add to the first suffix. And when we integrate these two svekas, we can create a svek sveka. So basically, the Taz, according to the Sidrei Tara's brilliant chiddush, is still maintaining a suffik d'oraisa in the case that maybe she had argosha when she finds dam on the eid. Let's just see. I know it's getting very late, so I'll just finish up the next up to Oz Tess. He says Chazinon b'sidrei Tara shegam im nachmir. Even if we'll be machmir like the Plesi, it's only a suffix. Meaning, forget about the Rambam. The Rambam says machzakin in lashihi argisha. No, that far we're not going to go. So we have three shitas here. We can go as far as Lakula, like the Shev Yaakov, the Torah Sashlom, namely that this whole business is that maybe she had Argosha when she claims she didn't have Argosha, it's only Darabbanon. We can go all the way to the other polar extreme and take the Rambam's view that in such a case she had a Chazaka that she had Argosha, and she's Vadai Tmei Doraisa. And now we have the middle Shita, which is the Shita, the Sidri Tara, and the Crazy Placey, etc. That we have a suffix d'oraisa. So we definitely see one thing, that if the Sidrei Tara in explaining the Taz is operating with a svek, he definitely holds, not like the Rambam, but rather that it's a suffix d'oraisa. And therefore, if we can add another suffix and integrate two svekas, we can be Tara through Tliya. The Sidrei Tara agrees that Sheva Beis Yosef lo mashma hachi. The Beis Yosef wants to say that since she didn't have Argosha, the whole deal is the Rabbanon. El Shem Beis Yosef, because of the Kevin Shalor Gisha, is Raglayim L'Dover Shalor Ba Migufa. In the absence of a Argosha, we're going to assume that this Dam came, you remember she was Osekes B'dom in Bekarov, right near there, and came Avua Shehu Tliya Gmura Kechol Kesem Sheba Shalor Yidei Argosha V'lo Midin. Okay, this has to be taken under advisement. So we'll stop here, and I hope you got something out of the shiur. Again, this is a brilliant overview of the whole sugya. There's so many different shitas here, but it's just amazing to summarize them in one presentation.